Chattanooga Civics is sponsored by RelaxTax. Getting your taxes done by a real person is way better than using an automated website, but it can be hard to find time to actually meet with an accountant. That's why I'm excited to tell you about a fully virtual tax preparation service called RelaxTax by Sagan Financial Group. Just submit your tax information safely and securely online to be reviewed and processed by one of their tax specialists. No unnecessary appointments, phone calls completely on your schedule. And best of all, listeners of Chattanooga Civics get 10% off Relaxed Tax by Sagan Financial Group. Just go to relaxedtax.com. That's RelaxedTax.com and use coupon code CIVICS in the client intake form. Sagan Financial Group is a local Chattanooga business, and part of the proceeds will go directly to supporting this show. I'll put a link in the show notes, but again, that coupon code is CIVICS for 10% off Relaxed Tax by Sagan Financial Group. I would also like to thank my Patreon sponsors for supporting this show, especially the Marks family and Stephen Culp. And if you're interested in supporting the show, you can find out more at patreon.com/chatcivics.
My name is Weston Watt, and I'm the Hamilton County Mayor.
Thank you for sitting down with me. I want to start at a very high level. What is the difference between a county and a city? And what does it mean to live in unincorporated Hamilton County specifically?
Nathan, one of the things that's intimidating about doing this interview is I wonder if you know the answer to this question better than I do. I describe Hamilton County as a subdivision of the state of Tennessee. Often we derive powers through the state of Tennessee. Senator Bo Watson often then distinguishes that cities have a contract type relationship with the state of Tennessee. And so we have a role that is statutory largely. And actually you can see it in this community through services that the county provides, that at times in the past, the city of Chattanooga also provided, but when the city decided not to continue those services, the county was required to statutorily. So that's true of public education. It's true of a health department that used to be co-titled, a jail, court system, et cetera. And so this is a different but similar version of local government. It is in many ways state government at a local level. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have all the bells and whistles that people who live in a municipality, particularly a larger one like the city of Chattanooga. I live in the city of Chattanooga, so I've got maybe an interesting vantage point on the role of city and county. But we are a subdivision of the state, subject to not our own ordinances, but to state law. Mm-hmm.
So how does the role of Hamilton County government change then between these unincorporated areas where the only controlling factor is Hamilton County government, which, as you said, is kind of a subsection of state government, and then the areas where it is an incorporated city that sits within Hamilton County, you know, Chattanooga mm-hmm. being the biggest example, but also Red Bank, East Ridge. Yeah. You know, places like that.
Well, one way that I think about this is how I've heard it described in Florida. Like Miami-Dade County has a county mayor, and I've seen them describe municipal government, so city government, as the primary provider of services. So they're the primary form of government. Like if you live in the city of Chattanooga, that siren that we're hearing is very likely a truck with the Chattanooga Fire Department, right? And so fire services, you know, basic public works on roads, trash pickup, these are types of services that are provided by the municipality. Of course, municipalities, and there would be different examples of this in this county, provide differing levels of service. But that's your mm-hmm. primary level of government. County government would be a secondary, I think you could describe it this way, a secondary level of government. Well, what happens if you live in unincorporated Hamilton County? It's primary and secondary. So the highway department maintains county roads, roads that are not in a municipality and not taken care of by that municipality's public works department are going to be county roads and taken care of by our highway department. That would be an example. But then also just as a subdivision of the state of Tennessee, whether it's a medical examiner's office or a health department or a jail, certain services statutorily are provided, an ambulance service actually in the state of Tennessee. So we run a consolidated ambulance service in Hamilton County that serves every single community and haven't always, which is another example of how services can be. There's nothing that stops a municipality from running an ambulance service. But in this county, the tradition over the last 30 years has been that we have a consolidated ambulance service. So I think that's one way to think of it. It's kind of primary or secondary. It's sort of self-evident that if you live in a city, you have there are more services that are provided. It's kind of the essence of why you would create a city. A lot of people are comfortable with the basic backdrop of services that are provided by a county. And then, some recognize that if you live close to the city of Chattanooga, you may still be able to benefit from some of, parks and other assets that exist in a municipality without having to pay municipal taxes. And so in this county, because the tax rates are very similar, it's basically half the, if you live in unincorporated Hamilton County, you pay half the taxes. And some people would argue that's unfair. And I've found that to be a pretty interesting debate and discussion in our time in office is how do we go about making sure that the county budget serves all residents of the county, those who live in the unincorporated areas, who live in the small cities of Hamilton County, and who live in the city of Chattanooga. And I think a year and a half in, my conclusion at this point is that it sort of all comes out in the wash. Like we spend a little money supporting volunteer fire departments, for example. That's a portion of your taxes and my taxes. Do you live in the city of Chattanooga? Yeah. So, you don't benefit necessarily from these volunteer fire departments. You do help fund them at a pretty modest level. But at the same time, the city of Chattanooga greatly benefits from a whole bunch of different partnerships with the county. We partner with the city of Chattanooga on major parks and the city would be a predominant user of health facilities, et cetera. So I think it more than anything, it's, kind of a constant evolving process that the county ought to be trying to ensure that it's providing services to everybody in incorporated and unincorporated areas.
Right. That does have to be tough to manage, trying to figure out which dollars are going where, what that overlap is. In terms of size, how many people live in Hamilton County overall, and then how many people live in those unincorporated areas where Hamilton County is their primary kind of touchstone for local government?
Yeah. So the total is estimated to be right at about 380,000 people. And so a lot of people, think of Hamilton County and Chattanooga's partners, the city's a little less than half of the size of Hamilton County, the unincorporated area, which is growing pretty fast. That's where so much of the single family residential development has taken place over the last couple decades, is a little over 100. It's 121,000 currently. And of course, one of the peculiarities to our county is that those 121,000 people, as well as folks who live in Lakesite and Collegedale, are served by volunteer fire departments. So this is a really rather populated county with quite a bit of density in some of the suburbs, let's say of Ottawa or Middle Valley, that are served by volunteer fire. And one of the things that keeps us up at night at times is that we are beginning to have probably grown beyond what we can expect volunteer fire to service now and into the future.
Right. Pulling on that thread a little bit, is that something that the county would then step in and provide professional fire service, or how would that work? Would they have to incorporate to provide that as a city?
No, so state law actually provides more options for counties to address fire service than it does cities. It's interesting. So counties can get extremely customized in the way that they provide fire service. There's different examples in this region. Bradley County does provide a county fire service. A wild example to me is that Knox County contracts in a lot of its unincorporated areas with a private service. I don't think we would go that route. In fact, my understanding is the private provider of fire services in Knox County, Knox County is their largest contract, but it just shows there's a whole lot of different ways to skin the cat. And then, my hunch would be that at the appropriate time for the county to begin to consider having a fire service is it would be a hybrid model. You'd walk before you'd ever try to run. And so many of our fire departments operate, volunteer fire departments operate at an incredibly high level. Mm-hmm. TRICOM contracts with the city of Collegedale, Dallas Bay, which is Middle Valley, contracts with Lakesite, both TRICOM and Dallas Bay. Others, Highway 58 does an incredible job covering one of the largest, if not the largest, volunteer fire district in the state. But some of our volunteer fire departments have morphed in a very sophisticated way to where mm-hmm. They're covering a lot of times those daytime hours where volunteers are at work. They've got a skeleton paid crew. We call that a hybrid service.
Right.
And so that would be my hope is that as we get to a point in time where we have to consider the county forming a fire service, that you wouldn't have to flip a switch where you're trying to fully staff a fire department because it's very, very expensive, but that you'd be able to take advantage of the volunteerism that supported, 100 and, including Collegedale, 130,000, people in our community. That you'd be able to leverage that into a hybrid model that might, ultimately grow into a paid county fire service. Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting and kind of shows those differences between those incorporated areas, unincorporated areas, the challenges we're facing as the county as a whole grows, not just the city. So I want to zoom back out a little bit and talk about the structure of Hamilton County yeah. government. And if you could just walk me through kind of the commission mayor system that we have,
yeah.
how many commissioners are there? How are they chosen?
Yeah.
How is your position chosen and what your role is? So I guess let's start with the commission. Can you walk me yeah. through?
In Tennessee, states are governed differently. Local governance looks very different, even just across the mm-hmm. state line in Georgia. In Tennessee, particularly in this county, given the city charter, county government is structured pretty similarly to city government. Mm-hmm. I mean, they function differently. They have different roles statutorily, but in terms of structure, it's more similar than not. Mm-hmm. I think parts of the city charter appear to reflect. I mean, the city mayor's pay is dime for dime my pay, mm-hmm. and you see a similar congruence in different components of the city charter, even the way that department heads are appointed. So, mm-hmm. I'm a chief executive of county government. We distinguish a little bit. By referring to the employees who are under our purview as employees of Hamilton County General Government, the distinction there is that there are other constitutional officers in county government. Mm-hmm. The sheriff is a constitutional officer, whereas the police chief, if there's an analogy, is a hired police chief.
Right.
Other constitutional officers, include a clerk who has his own staff, for example. Still, in many cases, the employees of constitutional officers are subject to our HR policies. But the commission in that way is similar to the city council, county commission, city council. The county commission just grew from 9 to 11 mm-hmm. districts. They all represent 1/11 of the county. No at-large districts in this part of the state, but there are in other parts of the state. I think it would actually be good. I think the county would have been wise actually to expand 9 to 11 and make two of those at-large, because mm-hmm. sometimes it feels a bit lonely being the only person in the mix who is thinking about the entirety of the county, right?
Right.
I don't fault any commissioners for advocating for their corner of the community. But it is a different perspective.
And it's got to be interesting, too, because you have commissioners who the vast majority of their district falls within incorporated city limits. Yeah. And so the way they might be thinking about the role of government might be completely different than somebody who's handling mostly unincorporated county, just, because there's not that overlap and there's
no
not
doubt.
That second layer of government to contend
well,
with.
Well, and probably even more complicated than that, I'll give you let's take three examples. Dr. Warren Mackey's district, county commission district, would be entirely in the city of Chattanooga. Geno Shipley's district in the north end of Hamilton County would include unincorporated areas, vast unincorporated areas like Flat Top Mountain, Mowbray Mountain, Sail Creek, but it also includes the entirety of the city of Soddy Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, Jeff Eversole's district, majority would be in the unincorporated county, but he also represents a lot of the city of Collegedale, right? So some of these guys, they actually do represent a municipality. It's just not the city of Chattanooga,
right?
And so often, you know, we, in our conversations with the city, we will remind them, you know, there's five or six commissioners who may not necessarily, you know, have an interest in what the city's position is.
Right.
Not, and I mean that just a personal interest. Maybe even the better example would be Mike Chauncey, who represents East Ridge, because the city of East Ridge is pretty big. You know, you're talking 20,000 people or more. And so the city of East Ridge is a majority of his district. But then it also represents people in the city of Chattanooga. So for sure, you know, that ends up being an issue, you know, on both sides. On the unincorporated county side, on an issue like volunteer fire, I often am reminding volunteer fire chiefs, because they'll come asking for a whole lot more money regularly than the county gives them. And one of the things that I remind them is that five or six members of the county commission don't have a personal interest in their districts in volunteer fire, right? You know, the inverse of that would be an issue that's focused on the city of Chattanooga. You know, it's a different priority level for, you know, Gino Shipley or Steve Highlander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of things. It's a lot of representations to juggle.
I don't know that I answered your question fully about the commissions. There's 11 commissioners. The one nuance that is, you know, between county government and city government is that state law prescribes the county mayor as an ex officio member of the commission. And this was more obvious prior to me coming into office, because the county mayor always sat at the commission dais. And there were only 11 seats up there, and there's kind of this big controversy about whether we're going to build a 12th seat. Mm-hmm. And I now usually hang out in the back of the room. I'm usually there at meetings. I often will speak about stuff. But I actually have and this is where I'll like yield. Somebody like you may probably know more about the protocols of the city. I'm sure anytime the city mayor wants to speak, he has the opportunity to speak. But in discussion, state law actually makes me an ex officio member with a statutory role in discussion and on any committees of the commission. So,
and
that's an important distinction, particularly in your smaller counties. Here, there's a large staff that supports all the operations. So in some small counties, when the county mayor, you know, is basically keeping a ledger, you know, keeping the books for the county, and really, I think, needs to be involved in all those meetings in a way that my staff normally represents, you know, the operations side of county government during meetings.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting, because it is sort of like that in my experience watching city council meetings in practice. Mm-hmm. By custom, you know, the mayor or somebody from his staff is always at the city council meetings.
Yeah.
Somebody from the mayor's staff usually gives a presentation at every city council meeting, you know, on various issues. And so that voice is still there from the executive side, but I don't think it's written into the charter. So every once in a while, there does become a little bit of a butting heads between the legislative side and the executive side about whose interests are being catered to.
One of the things I've found the most fascinating is about county governance in Tennessee is that a few counties, Knox County and Shelby County, the biggest examples, are counties that have adopted their own charter. So they didn't go to metro government, but the counties, counties can adopt a charter and customize a lot of the ways that they do business in Tennessee. Hamilton County's not done that. So we're the largest county in Tennessee that is subject to general law. And what that means, in effect, is that the same laws, and they're very basic, a lot of them, you know, are written in arcane language, but the same laws that apply to our county of 380,000 people, you know, with $1 billion county budget, including education. Those laws also apply to a small county, like Moore County, for example, you know, off the top of my head, maybe 15, 20,000 residents and 24 or 25 county commissioners. So counterintuitively, a lot of the small counties in Tennessee have way more county commissioners than ours do. And so if you think about, you know, our county commissioners or my office derives its powers from the same statutes as a county, you know, where there may be twice as many commissioners, but a tenth as many people. And sometimes I just use that as a check when we're working through how something should work. Okay, well, these laws were designed so that they would also apply in Bledsoe County.
Right.
You know, whereas the charter here was a charter, you know, it was written for a city with density and, you know, some population and expectations that there would be a sophisticated set of bevy of services provided. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can imagine there are counties. Pickett County, Tennessee has 5,000 residents, but Pickett County, Tennessee is subject to the same statutes to govern it as Hamilton County. Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. So I'll cover a couple more basics real quick. So there's 11 commissioners. They each have their own district. Some of them are representing multiple jurisdictions, people in multiple jurisdictions, mm-hmm. be it Chattanooga, Eastridge, unincorporated areas. How long are their term limits, or how long are their terms, sorry, and are there any term limits on county commissioners?
4-year terms, no term limits, mm-hmm. and it's the same for my office. With that being said, when I campaigned, I argued that there should be, on the executive side, term limits, mm-hmm. and committed to only serve 2 4-year terms. And part of my rationale was that the city mayor, first of all, is term limited. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that these two positions, you know, this community's sort of used to the duality of mayors. And so if there's term limits over there, it kind of follows to me that there'd be term limits here. I also would argue, you know, Knox County specifically is the most analogous to Hamilton County for a number of different reasons in the state of Tennessee. Their charter calls for term limits. So the Knox County mayor can only serve 2 terms. Same's true in Shelby County. Same's also true in Metro Nashville. So if you're looking at the big communities in Tennessee, the only executive position in the big 4 counties or cities, you know, the only executive position without term limits is the Hamilton County mayor.
Interesting.
And you know, I just kind of come from a tradition that says all these positions you should hold loosely. I've enjoyed it enough in a year and a half to totally understand why you would hang out for a longer period of time. And I can understand why. So I've got friends who've served as county mayors for decades in different mm-hmm. parts of the state. And it might not be as big of an issue in a smaller county. But I think in a big county like this, it'd be good to give somebody else an opportunity to serve. Mm-hmm.
And are all these elections, are they partisan?
They are partisan.
Okay.
And that, I think that comes back to being a subdivision of the state of Tennessee.
Right.
So state elections are partisan, and it follows that county elections are partisan.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about your position in particular. You're the only at-large position in the county general government, correct?
I think that's correct, yeah.
I guess
the sheriff and the clerk. Yeah, the sheriff and the county mayor have a pretty complex relationship. As long as we're friends and Sheriff Garrett and I are pretty close, it's good. There's a series of sort of statutes that describe how the county mayor and sheriff can sort out different conflicts. And you'll actually see, it's an interesting Google search, because sheriffs can sue county mayors in Tennessee. And
interesting.
It's, you know, on employment issues yeah. and issues relative to budget and number of employees. But, that is more or less correct. I mean, I think the sheriff is a leader of sheriff's office, but in county general government, it's only our office that mm-hmm. county employees of county general government report to.
Right. So how does the responsibility break down? Is it similar to the city where the commission is more the legislative body? We are going to write the rules. We're going to, you know, pass the laws, and then it's up to you as the mayor to enforce them, enact them, I guess not enforce them technically, but enact mm-hmm. them and set up the structure to administrate those laws.
Right, to carry out the day-to-day operations. You know, state law refers to the county mayor actually as both the chief executive officer and the chief financial officer okay. of the county. Again, it's actually very similar. I think the way the charter's written, even down to the appointment of department heads, is similar to the way state law prescribes mm-hmm. county mayor's power to appoint department heads. There's no hiring. I don't know if this is true of the city council, but the county commission doesn't have hiring or firing powers beyond the ability to, they can hire a staff for themselves. And they, mm-hmm. they've got, I think, 3 employees currently. I think it's generally very similar to what you would see in a municipality. Well, not in, I shouldn't say in any municipality, but in a strong mayor where you've got a full-time mayor who's acting as the administrative head of government mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. opposed to a city manager format.
Right. So I want to talk about Hamilton County's relationship with different areas of government, especially, you know, this is Chattanooga civics focused mostly on the city of Chattanooga. So I want to pick apart that relationship for people who live in Chattanooga, what their day-to-day interaction with Hamilton County government might be. And so I want to start with the Hamilton County Department of Education and see how that ties into all this. I know it's not necessarily a direct relationship between this office or the commission and the school board, but if you could just break that down for us.
Yeah, this is complex with a whole lot of different nuances. Mm-hmm. 25 years ago, the city and county school systems merged. Mm-hmm. So you've got a consolidated school system funded by county government. Maintenance of effort laws require the county to fund the school system with at least as much money as we did last year, mm-hmm. But not necessarily more. And so you have a funding relationship that is technical in some cases, that is very real and practical, plays out during budget season in other cases. One of the kind of unique qualities of county governance here in Hamilton County, even different than the way that education is funded in different parts of the state, is that over the last few decades, the tradition has become that county general government funds school facilities, major capital investments. It doesn't have to be that way. It tends to be that county general government is going to play a role in any part of the state because only legislative bodies can issue debt, have taxing authority, and can therefore issue debt. So the school system can't issue bonds. They could, and this is what happens in other parts of the state, the school system could create its own capital budget allocation, transfer that to the county for the issuance of debt to, you know, provide for large projects. They don't do that. And so that causes the county commission, school board, my office, and Dr. Roberts' office to work very closely together. Mm-hmm. You know, the big example as we got started was this school facilities working group that led to a series of recommendations that were formalized at the school board. So there's a whole lot of collaboration on school facilities because that's, you know, whether it's a major renovation or a new school, those are projects that are funded by county government here. And then you'll see in a way that I actually wish other municipalities in the county would emulate, you'll just see on a one-off project by project basis, the county government, the county commission take an interest in the school system, right? And so, you know, an example would be we have been working kind of bite by bite at converting the school system's athletic fields to turf fields because they are better for coaches. They allow for community use and practice and you know, games. And our private schools have them. We want to dignify public school athletes with, mm-hmm. you know, commensurate facilities. But like that would be an example of there's no reason that the city of Chattanooga couldn't say, well, we want to turf a field at Hickson High School. They could mm-hmm. do that. We tend to, I think, post-merger county government you know, has taken full responsibility, but it tends to be, I think at times, you know, it's expected that we are the only entity that takes responsibility. Even though some of the projects that we end up funding are tangential, they're outside, if you will, of that formal funding of the school system's budget. Like we will bring, I mean, another example is we had relative to the school system's budget, we had a $750,000 program in my first budget that funded CTE sign-on bonus, CTE instructor sign-on bonuses, and covered basically the classes required to gain certification as a teacher. Right. So that wasn't in the school system budget. It was in the county budget, but mm-hmm. it was the result of a collaborative effort. Well, you know, similarly, I encourage the mayors of the small towns. Like I would really love for the city of Soddy Daisy, who is involved, all the people on the, you know, Soddy Daisy, you know, city commission, they're all involved at a personal level in the schools in the city of Soddy Daisy. But I would like to think of, you know, I would like for them to think of themselves even as a governing body, as a, you know, form of local government, as being a tailwind to the schools there. You know, and I think increasingly, you know, Mayor Kelly's got an interest in that long term, the Bend development, A portion of the city's tax proceeds from that development will support county schools in the kind of proximity of downtown. So does that answer your question? We could kind of talk all day long about.
Yeah, I want to pick at a couple of those things. So just basic high level, make sure that I'm clear on this. So the commission. Does the budget originate with the commission and this, like the county budget, does that originate with the commission or with the mayor?
The county mayor's office delivers a consolidated budget to the
commission. So similar to how the city operates, the mayor provides the budget, the commission deliberates on it, passes it, maybe amends it.
Yeah.
And then that budget, correct me if I'm wrong, includes the budget for the school system as basically a pot of money. Mm-hmm. That they say, here, Hamilton County School Board, here's your pot of money to do whatever maintenance, you know, operations, kind of year-to-year costs. But then on top of that, there are separate allocations for capital projects?
That's correct.
And they're not part of the school budget. They're part of the county budget.
That's right.
Okay.
So the majority of the county's debt service, which is in the tens of millions of dollars, is floating right now in the nearly $50 million range. The majority of that, and this one, you know, this a recurring item in the county's budget is the majority of that would be towards school facilities. And that, even in this year's budget, we'll have millions of dollars in our budget, new dollars in the budget for debt service on bonds to build some of the school projects that have, you know, been talked about and debated over the last year and a half.
That is really interesting because in my mind, you know, coming from a civil engineering background, maybe it's maybe that's why I have this mindset. But infrastructure is so important to the day-to-day operations of any organization. So for me to hear that the infrastructure, the capital improvements of the school system are handled by the county budget and not by the school board that's making kind of the more educational decisions is really interesting. And I can see some pros and cons to that. You know, the pros is that it keeps everybody working really tightly together. Everybody's kind of got to be marching in the same direction. The school board can't just take the money and run off and do something completely separate from the commission because the commission is ultimately going to be the one that says, hey, the new school is going to go here, the new football field, we'll give you some money for that over here. That's really interesting. I feel like... And any municipality could do that in theory, allocate money to capital improvements of schools.
Well, we wouldn't turn it down. Right? that's the way we look at that. It's like we certainly wouldn't turn it down. But yeah, they could. Nothing that prevents them statutorily from doing that. In fact, I ought to know. I need to go back and study the details of it. But there actually was the town of Signal Mountain implemented a tax increase of some kind to support the construction, a percentage
That's right.
of the construction
That's right.
of Signal Mountain Middle High School, which would probably be the most recent extreme example of a big investment. There have been talks about the border region arrangement in East Ridge benefiting education. I've even talked to developers there about their desire that some of the new revenue that East Ridge has seen would flow back into public education. That's why I invite, like I said, I invite these local mayors to take ownership of their schools. They could be, I think, and they know in many ways more about the schools in their community, than some of us at the top of county government possibly could, right? Because, especially in these small communities.
Right. So there's a lot of coordination on the capital improvement side of things. Is there any coordination or is there kind of a firewall on the operations, the more curricular piece of the school board?
Yeah, I'd say pretty much a firewall. The accountability is that the county commission is going to continue to fund what the school system wants. And that's either in capital projects or even in new revenue in any given year. They're going to fund that based on their confidence that the school system's doing the right thing, right? So if there was total misalignment, the county commission, county government can certainly would have the ability to kind of hold the purse strings on a whole number of different fronts. So there's some accountability baked into it. I think that's a dynamic that plays out a lot, is because, you know, our office and the county commission are the ones accountable to voters about taxation. There is sometimes the perception that, you know, while we'll exercise extreme caution over every dollar, particularly these capital projects, it's it hits a little different when you're the one who's kind of collecting it from taxpayers as opposed to just allocating it, as is the case at the school board. And some people would, you know, use that as an argument that, as is the case in many states across the country, school boards do have taxing authority. They've got the ability to go and do what they think they need to do on their own. Here, it all flows back through county government or through municipal government if you've got a municipal, a city-run school system. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the tensions. And I've even tried, as have other, you know, newer members of the county commission, we've tried to restore some trust that's been broken over the years. You know, some old rivalries kind of between the school system and the county, even though we are you know, kind of fundamentally partners and need to be and ought to be. And we're each other's, well, at least I can say from the county's perspective, we're their biggest fans. There are still, you know, there's some old war stories about all this time that this person got wronged. And, you know, some of these stories are like, you know, from my childhood. And so I've tried to establish kind of a new rapport with Dr. Robertson and his team that, you know, we're going to, you know, represent the best interest of taxpayers, but we're not going to try to let some of these old traditions negatively affect our working relationship.
Right. So I want to have a similar conversation about the relationship between Hamilton County and the city of Chattanooga and talk, you know, what are the areas where Hamilton County and Chattanooga are coordinating on a regular basis, you know, teaming up on projects, and then what are the areas where there might be, if there are any, more of a firewall?
I think that collaboration is on more fronts than not, mm-hmm. but then the specific ones are really around economic development. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's where you've got not just a tradition, but a necessity that there's collaboration because, you know, whether it's an employer that's looking at an expansion or, you know, a pilot for a housing project. I mean, there, you know, there's so many different, you know, economic development tools that end up being kind of shared by the city and county. And that is where, you know, our interactions overwhelmingly on a lot of those fronts end up being with the city of Chattanooga. I mean, increasingly, you know, you'll see, I think, opportunities like that with East Ridge and some of the other municipalities. But the sheer volume of economic activity in the city of Chattanooga means that city and county mayors are partners. And so a lot of the biggest economic development deals in the history of this community, you know, took place, you know, between the city and county mayor's offices working in collaboration. And we've worked on a few big deals with their office already. I mean, the Bend, mm-hmm. the structure of the Bend TIF was entirely created by our staffs. Another big kind of to be announced economic development deal that we've worked on. And so I think that's a big one. City mayor and I collaborate quite a bit on workforce development. I'd say, you know, there's a tradition of our parks departments working together in a really cool way. It's probably the best example of these overlapping jurisdictions being partners. I mean, maybe outside of, I mean, Enterprise South's a pretty darn good example. But even there, like Enterprise South Nature Park, and one of the largest park, one of the largest local parks in the country, is you know, city county funded. The county's parks department is the one that staffs it and and animates it on a day-to-day basis. But Enterprise South itself, it was a partnership with the city and county and a really prolific one. The River Walk and the River Park, another example of that. A lot of people don't realize that the River Walk north of Manker Patton is programmed and staffed by the county. South of Manker Patton through downtown into St. Elmo's, staffed and programmed by the city. So that's a good example of collaboration. And then you'll see, you know, wherever the kind of city runs into the county, you know, a ton of collaboration on the emergency management side. So the Office of Emergency Management is a, you know, process the state went through kind of post 9/11, really buttoned up what kind of emergency management protocols look like. And so our director of emergency management in Hamilton County is a former Chattanooga fire chief. So, you know, there's more collaboration. There's collaboration on more fronts than not. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't even know if there would be a firewall where it would be, because even in public works where the city is going to, certainly take a lead role on all of its infrastructure, there still tends to be a lot of collaboration, for example, between, city public works and the county engineer, and administrator of public works, Todd Lehman. Mm-hmm.
So sitting here in the county courthouse, if I walk down the street, I mean, we're in the city of Chattanooga. I'm just curious, for people working in and around the courthouse, a lot of county employees, what the actual day-to-day interaction is with county government for people who are working and operating, presumably, like you and I, we both live in the city of Chattanooga. If you were not part of county government, what would your relationship with county government look like, just as a regular Joe?
Well, if you get arrested and go to the jail, you're in a county facility. You then would be rendered to a county court system. Mm-hmm. If you come to renew your license plate, you're coming into the county clerk's office. Mm-hmm. There's 60 different programs that are run. Many of them are state grant funded that are run through the Hamilton County Health Department. If you're enrolled in WIC, for example, it's a federal program, but carried out through the state of Tennessee at and a local level county, by health departments. I think it's a good example. If you work at Volkswagen, you work in Enterprise South as a result of city and county leadership. Mm-hmm. Those examples would go on and on and on. Again, I think, the collaboration that you've seen in parks is one that I would I'd hope to see grow. We hope to see major investment back on the riverfront. There's a $2.5 million line item in the county budget for Ross's Landing, for all the areas. We split the bill with the city of Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. on kind of everything you see at the riverfront. That kind of surprised me when I kind of did my first deep dive into the county budget. I think you probably interact with county government in more ways than a lot of people may realize. Like I mentioned earlier, if you've, God forbid, if you've ever been in the back of an ambulance, it was a Hamilton County ambulance.
Awesome. Well, this has been a really great kind of overview of the Hamilton County government, the structure that you all use here, and how it affects people living in the city of Chattanooga. I hope, maybe one day in the future to have another interview and talk more in detail about some of these projects, because, what you all do here at the county, like we've already said, impacts everybody living in the city. But I think for now we'll wrap it up. And if you've got anything else you want to add, or any, county social media or anything that you want to plug.
Well, I'm at Weston Mop on all the things, or at least the ones that I can keep up with. And Nathan, we appreciate your leadership. I remember when you launched this podcast, I thought a lot of it. I think there's been at times a lack of civic activity around here. I feel like it's picked up over the last couple of years. In fact, an example really of this tradition of collaboration between the city and county that I would be remiss not to point out, given your roles on the planning commission. Mm-hmm. So the city mayor and county mayor both have seats on the planning commission, and we appoint the same number of people. And then we have to agree on who the chair is. Mm-hmm. And co-appoint. And there's a whole lot of big institutions in town. And that would have been a good answer probably to your question about the city and county's partnership. The city and county built Finley Stadium, built the convention center, operate big facilities like that in partnership. The politics, as I've described, are probably more divergent than they've been, at least in a long time, if not than ever. You've got some parts of the county that are incredibly conservative. You've got some parts of the city of Chattanooga that would be, at least at the ballot box, very loyal to the Democratic Party. Net probably a city that leans Democrat, county as a whole, this Republican. And so sometimes, as should be the case, when we sit down and just have, candid conversations with each other, I remind, Mayor Kelly that he doesn't have to answer to people on Flat Top Mountain, but I do, and life looks different there, than it does in the city, even though I'm a city dweller, right? Like, I've lived in the city my whole life. I have a responsibility in this role to kind of hear and represent people who live in the vast rural parts of the county as well. You asked about social media. Yep. So I'm Weston Watt, but then the county, which is more active on social media than it probably has been in the past, is at Hamilton. No, it's not. It's at HamcoTNGov. Awesome. So that's clunky. We millennials are not responsible for that clunky handle, but we are the caretakers of it. HamcoTNGov.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Nathan.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Chattanooga Civics. Our music was written and recorded by Kevin McLeod. Find more civic resources at chattanoogacivics.com. Chattanooga Civics is a member of the Podnooga Network. To find more great podcasts from local creators, find Podnooga on Facebook and Instagram or on the web at podnooganetwork.com. Thanks for listening.
Proud member of the Podnooga Network.